Moreover, Allah revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to praise the status of knowledge, the Islamic knowledge that is. And this is why today, inshallah, we will be starting sessions of Islamic knowledge that is essential to every Muslim to acquire. It is called the personal obligatory knowledge of the religion that every accountable person is obligated to know and is sinful for neglecting. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in praising the status of knowledge, its teachers and its students, he said in the hadith that was related by Ibn Majah that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, O Abu Dharr, if you go and learn one verse of the Quran, it will be more rewardable for you than praying 100 rak'ah of the optional prayers. And if you go and learn a chapter of knowledge, it is more rewardable for you than praying 1000 rak'ah of the optional prayers. Al-Bukhari related that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, when the Muslim, the son of Adam, dies, his deeds stop except for three matters: a charity resulting in a continuing benefit, which is sadaqah jariyah; knowledge benefiting others, ilmun yuntafa'u bih; and a pious offspring making supplication to Allah for him. Wa waladun salihun yad'u Allah lahu. In an effort to comply with these precious principles of Islam, the ayah mentioned, the ahadith mentioned, we inshallah will be explaining a session, a series of Islamic sessions, inshallah ta'ala. We ask Allah to make it of a widespread benefit. We humbly ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us and the listeners the sincere intentions to endow His mercy on us and assemble us under the banner of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and make us among the winners on the day of judgment. We will be explaining a book very popular as Al-Mukhtasar, or the summary. The summary of a great scholar known as Abdullah Al-Harari, who is Al-Shafi'i, who is Al-Rifa'i in Tariqah, which is a great Shafi'i scholar and a great Sufi following the Rifa'i Tariqah, one of the most popular scholars and the most known true Sufis, and one of the greatest of the Muhaddith of the Hadith, who comes originally from the city of Harar in Abyssinia. The secret behind this great book is because it talks about the matters that every Muslim is obligated to acquire, which is called the essentials of beliefs, and it contains the personal obligatory knowledge of the religion that every one of us must acquire among the accountable people. As the title of the book indicates, the summary of Abdullah Al-Harari, ensuring the personal obligatory knowledge of the religion, it was authored to provide us and the students of Islamic knowledge with the obligatory knowledge of the religion, that portion of the knowledge of the religion which every accountable person is obligated to learn. The one who is ignorant of the obligatory religion, the one who is ignorant about that special portion of knowledge, he would be falling in a sin. The one who is ignorant of the obligatory knowledge of the religion that contains knowing the correct worship, the acts of worship like prayers, purification, Hajj or Zakat, these matters, every person who is accountable is obligated to acquire the knowledge about them, so that his worship, his ibadah is accepted by Allah. Moreover, one cannot be sure one is clear of committing any of the sins, that is, the sins of the heart, the sins of the hands, tongue, ear, eye, body, private parts, abdomen, foot, etc. If one wants to truly follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, one has to first learn the obligatory knowledge of the religion, or al-fardu al-ayni min ilm al-din, the obligatory knowledge of the religion, and implement it as the Prophet, peace be upon him, ordered, as to the method of the followers of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, ahlu sunnah wal jama'ah. In what pertains to the obligatory knowledge of the religion, the summary of Abdullah al-Harari is the most inclusive summary that we have seen. The author is Sheikh Abdullah, the son of Muhammad al-Shaybi. He was born in Harar, the capital of knowledge in Ethiopia, Abyssinia. This Sheikh sought the religious knowledge from many scholars, many Sheikhs, among whom are Sheikh Muhammad Ibn Abdi Salam, who was a very pious Shafi'i scholar, Sheikh Muhammad Siraj Al-Jabarti, who was the Mufti of Habasha, and Sheikh Ahmad Ibn Abdul Muttalib, who was the Sheikh of the reciters of the Quran in Mecca. These days it is rare to find someone who has mastered as many different types of knowledge as Sheikh Abdullah has mastered. Sheikh Abdullah mastered the science of Tawheed, the science of Fiqh, the science of Hadith, ilm al-Hadith, wa ilm al-Fiqh, wa ilm al-Tawheed, wa ilm al-Lugha, the science of the Arabic language and grammar, the science of different reciters of the Quran, ilm al-Qira'at, the science of the interpretation of the Quran, al-Tafsir, the science of calculation and astronomy, the science of the fundamentals of fiqh and other sciences, other uloom. He has not only acquired many types of knowledge, but he also implements them, and he teaches them as well. He advises the people according to the laws of the religion, ordering what is lawful and forbidding what is unlawful, while being sincerely kind and merciful to them. He is very humble in the matters of this life, and detached from the worldly matters, just like the Sufi people, the true Sufi people. He exerts a great deal of time, effort, and money in propagating the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is our intention to explain the terms of this popular book without going into much detail, because the one who seeks to acquire the knowledge of the religion should not rush to just gather a lot of information. Rather, brothers and sisters and listeners, one needs to go as slowly as is necessary for one to understand, to be careful and cautious in observing and comprehending the material of the religion. Az-Zuhri, which was one of the scholars among the followers of the companions, he was among the tabi'een, he said, "Man talaba al-haditha jumlatan fatahu jumlatan." It means, the one who seeks the entire knowledge of hadith all at once misses that knowledge in its entirety. By his statement, he meant that one should acquire the knowledge in steps, in a way to be sure that one observes and comprehends it. It is the habit of the scholars to first explain a subject or a book by defining its terms without giving much detail or mentioning many of the exemptions, and sometimes without mentioning all the restrictions involved regarding some matters, because you are required to learn the basics, the aqidah. This is to enable the students to observe the core of the material and to understand it. The next time they explain, they may give a more in-depth explanation if they see the student has thoroughly comprehended the material, and so on. In this context, Imam al-Bukhari said that some scholars explained the term ربانيين, which is a general. رباني means العالم العامل, which is a scholar who implements his knowledge. They call that in Arabic ربانيين. Imam al-Bukhari explained that term to mean those who raise, who teach the people at first with the simple matters of the religion, then later in more depth. So that's how they teach. First, the simple matters of the religion, then later on, as that student comprehends the core, they will give more in-depth information. Brothers and sisters, listeners, seeking the knowledge of the religion entails a great reward. At-Tirmidhi related that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من خرج في طلب العلم فهو في سبيل الله حتى يرجع. This hadith means the reward of the one who goes out seeking the knowledge is similar to the reward of the one who fights for the sake of Allah, and this is until one returns to one's home. That reward remains until he returns home. Hence, the reward of the one who goes out seeking the knowledge of the religion is similar to the reward of the mujahid. The mujahid is the one who fights for the sake of Allah. Similarly, the one who goes out to seek the Islamic knowledge, to listen to the teachings and the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of his prophet, the one who seeks, who goes out to seek that knowledge, he has a reward similar to the reward of the mujahid. He is making jihad. That is the jihad in acquiring the Islamic knowledge for the sake of Allah. Among the different levels in Al-Jannah, in Paradise, there are 100 levels specified for those who fight for the sake of Allah. Between one of these ranks and the next is a distance like the distance between the earth and the sky. This is why Imam al-Shafi'i said, طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ أَفْضَلُ مِنْ صَلَاةِ النَّافِلَةِ. The saying of Imam al-Shafi'i, which is the madhab that we follow, means seeking the knowledge of the religion is more rewardable than performing the optional prayer. And this is what the all madhahib agree upon. And Shaykh Abdullah al-Harari said, تَعْلِيمُ النَّاسِ الْعِلْمَ أَفْضَلُ مِنْ تَوْزِيعِ الْمَالِ عَلَيْهِمْ. It means spreading the knowledge among the people is better or more important than distributing money among them. With the knowledge, brothers and sisters, listeners, with the knowledge of the religion, one fights the devils among the humans and the jinn, and one can fight his own evil inclinations. We ask Allah to facilitate for us this precious benefit. Ameen. Inshallah, we shall start by explaining the terms. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We will explain that term, inshallah, so that we have an understanding of what this phrase really means. Explanation of Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim is, or it means, I start with the name of Allah. Bismillah means I start with the name of Allah. Allah is the name of the self whom we must worship, the one attributed with Godhood. And Godhood means the power to create things, to bring things from the state of non-existence into the state of existence. Al-Ilahiyya, Al-Qudra ala al-Ikhtira. That's what Godhood means. Now, the name Ar-Rahman means the one who is merciful to the believers and the non-believers in this life, and merciful to only the believers in the hereafter. Ar-Rahim means the one who is merciful to only the believers in the hereafter. So whenever we recite Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, as if we are saying, I start with the name of Allah, who is attributed with Godhood, who has the power to create, the one who is merciful to the believers and non-believers in this life, and merciful to only the believers in the hereafter, and the one who is merciful to only the believers in the hereafter. Introduction. Praise be to Allah, Alhamdulillah, the Lord of the humans and jinn. Explanation. The author started by praising Allah, thereby implementing the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, related by Abu Dawood, كل أمر ذي بال لا يبدأ بحمد الله فهو أقطع. This hadith means, every religiously important matter which is not started with praising Allah falls short. The meaning of that is it falls short in reward. The meaning of Alhamdulillah entails praising Allah for the uncountable endowments He endowed upon us. Ash-shukru lillah walhamdulillah ala al-thana' al-ikhtiyari, which is the uncountable endowments that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala endowed upon us from His generosity. The author said, the one who is attributed with life, Al-Hayy. Explanation. Allah is attributed with an eternal and everlasting life, which does not resemble our life. Allah's life is not the combination of soul, bones, and flesh. Allah, who is attributed with Hayat, means His life is unlike our life. It is not a combination of soul, bones, or flesh like our life. The one who does not need anything, Al-Qayyum. Al-Qayyum is a name of Allah, and it means the one who does not need any of His creations. Yet everything else needs Him. The scholars also said that Al-Qayyum means the one whose existence does not end. So it has two meanings. The one whose existence does not end, and the one who does not need anything. And the one who manages all the creations. This means all-inclusive management of all the creations is an attribute of Allah only. Allah is the one who makes everything the way it is. Some creations may have a certain management over things. However, it is a management which is special with them. This is a specified management that they have. Allah Ta'ala said in Surah An-Nazi'at, Ayah 5, فَالْمُدَبِّرَاتِ أَمْرًا. In this ayah, Allah attributed a proportional management to the angels, Tadbir. The management of Allah includes everything, whereas the management of the angels is restricted to what Allah has willed for them to manage, and it is not similar to the management of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This book is a summary inclusive of most of the obligatory knowledge which every accountable person is obligated to know. This knowledge comprises the obligatory knowledge pertaining to belief, aqidah, issues from purification, tahara, up to pilgrimage, hajj, and some rules of dealings, mu'amalat, according to the school, madhhab, of Imam al-Shafi'i. The sins of the heart and of other organs such as the tongue are also included. The explanation. Every accountable person, brothers and sisters, is obligated to know the aforementioned, the obligatory matters. Covered in this summary is the obligatory knowledge pertaining to belief, purification and prayer, zakah, fasting and pilgrimage. Also the sins of the heart and of other parts of the body and the issues of tawbah, repentance, and its conditions are mentioned as well. The one who is not obligated to pay zakah is not obligated to learn the details of paying zakah. That is the poor person, for example. The same ruling applies to learning the details of pilgrimage, hajj, for the one who is neither able nor planning to perform it, and to learning the details of dealings which one is neither engaged in nor is obligated to perform. So you are obligated to acquire and understand matters of the religion that are essential to you, to your worship, such as beliefs in Allah and His prophets, prayer, and the like. The one who observes and understands the cases presented in our explanations, in our sessions, series of sessions in this book, eventually becomes among the people of tamyiz, or the people of discrimination. He will be able to discriminate, to differentiate between what is good and what is bad, and between what is valid and what is invalid. What a great blessing this is. By knowledge, you will be able to know the halal from the haram, the right from the wrong. This is all by the Islamic knowledge of the religion. The original book was written by the Hadrami faqih scholar named Abdullah ibn Hussein ibn Tahir. So Sheikh Abdullah al-Harari took this book originally from a Hadrami, which refers to that this scholar is from the land of Hadramaut in Yemen. He took that book from a Hadrami scholar named Abdullah ibn Hussein ibn Tahir. The original name of this book was Sulamut Tawfiq, which was written by Abdullah ibn Hussein ibn Tahir al-Alawi, following or descending from the offspring of Sayyiduna Ali radiyallahu anhu, which was a Sunni Muslim scholar who was a true Sufi as well. He was born in 1191 after the Hijrah. He acquired his knowledge from many well-known scholars. He spent some time in Mecca and in Al-Madinah. He died in the year 1272 after the Hijrah, the immigration of the Prophet, in Yemen. Now Sheikh Abdullah al-Harari, he had eliminated certain parts of Sulam al-Tawfiq and added others. He changed still other parts, and the end result was this book, which we will be explaining the summary of Abdullah al-Harari. Why was that elimination to certain parts? The author said, many precious issues were added to the book. On the other hand, the section on Sufism was omitted. Sufism is a term describing the state of the pious Muslims who perform obedience to Allah in compliance with the Quran, Hadith, Ijma', and the sayings of the companions, while their hearts are detached from worldly interests. So, on the other hand, the section on Sufism was omitted. Sheikh Abdullah omitted it. Some sentences were changed in such a way that the subject would not be changed. In a few cases, the author mentioned what some Shafi'i scholars like Al-Bulqini preponderated in an effort to clarify what was weak in the original book. Let's explain what Sheikh Abdullah, the author of the book, means in this. This is the methodology of summarizing known to the scholars. The scholars who summarize other people's work might change some areas, add some topics, or omit other ones. In keeping with this methodology, Sheikh Abdullah al-Harari eliminated, he took out the chapters in the original book that talk about Sufism. This by no means reflects this disapproving the true Sufism. Does not mean it is dispraising the true Sufism or the true Tasawwuf. Rather, it is because the basic subject of the summary is to deal with the personal obligatory knowledge of the religion. The author also replaced some of the sayings that have less weight by sayings to which the scholars like Al-Imam Al-Bulqini have given more weight. So he replaced some weak sayings with stronger sayings of the popular or more popular scholars like Al-Imam Al-Bulqini and other Shafi'i scholars. And he omitted the topic about Sufism, not because Sufism is bad, we're talking about the true Sufism, rather because he wanted to restrict this book to the essential matters of the religion, to the obligatory knowledge of the religion. And Sufism is among the optional matters. Al-Bulqini mentioned here in Sirajuddin, he is Sirajuddin Umar Al-Bulqini, the one we mentioned that Sheikh Abdullah used some of his sayings because they have more weight. His name is Sirajuddin Al-Bulqini. Al-Bulqini attained a very high rank in many uloom, many sciences, such as Al-Fiqh, the Hadith, the Tafsir of the Quran, the interpretations, and many other sciences as well. It was mentioned that he attained the rank of the Mujtahid. He lived in Egypt and he died in Egypt the year 805 after the Hijrah. We ask Allah Ta'ala to have mercy upon him. The author said, hence one must pay due attention to this obligatory knowledge in order to have one's deeds accepted. The author named it the summary of Abdullah al-Harari, ensuring the personal obligatory knowledge of the religion. In Arabic, مختصر عبد الله الهرري الكافل بعلم الدين الضروري. Explanation. Brothers and sisters, let it be clear that in Islam there is a certain portion of the knowledge of the religion that every accountable person must learn. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم. In this hadith related by Al-Bayhaqi, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told us, seeking the obligatory knowledge of the religion, ilm al-din, is an obligation upon every Muslim. Seeking this knowledge is an obligation on every accountable Muslim, whether they were male or female, a woman or man. This hadith was classified by Al-Hafidh Al-Mizzi as a Hasan hadith. Since this book contains what is obligatory to learn of the religious knowledge, the student needs to pay due attention to it. The correct knowledge guides the person to the valid deed and the valid performance. Imam Muslim related from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that he said, إِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةَ لَتَضَعُ أَجْنِحَتَهَا لِطَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ رِضًا بِمَا يَصْنَعُ. It means, this hadith means, the angels lower their wings out of humbleness to the student seeking the knowledge of the religion because of their delight with his deed. They like what he is doing, they accept what he is doing, so the angels, they move, they lower their wings in respect, in humbleness to the one who is acquiring the Islamic knowledge. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our case like in this case, in this hadith, to apply on us. Insha'Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will start by explaining, like we said, the essentials of beliefs, the meaning of the shahadatayn, the testifications of faith, or the two shahadas. The author said, it is obligatory upon all the accountable persons to embrace the religion of Islam, to remain steadfast to it, and to comply with what is obligatory upon them of the rules of the religion. This means that every accountable mukallaf person must be Muslim, stay Muslim, and follow the rules of Islam. Inshallah, we shall explain this portion. It is obligatory upon the one who is accountable but was not a Muslim to embrace Islam immediately. What is mukallaf, or what is accountable? One is accountable if one is sane, not crazy, pubescent, and has received the basic message of Islam. Sane means aqil, it means he is not crazy. The male becomes pubescent, baligh, when one of two matters occurs. He discharges his mani, and mani is a term used equally for men and women. It refers to the sexual spermatic fluid of the man and the corresponding sexual fluid of the woman. This is called mani. So when that discharges, when the mani discharges from the male, or he becomes 15 lunar years old, then he becomes pubescent. 15 lunar years approximately equals to 14 and a half years of the years that we count now. So the baligh, or the pubescent, becomes a pubescent, or the male becomes a pubescent, when either he discharges his mani, he sees his mani, or he becomes 15 lunar years. This is the case of the male. However, puberty for the woman becomes by one of three matters. She discharges her mani, or she becomes 15 lunar years old, or she menstruates. Damul hayd, she sees the menstruation. So the accountable person is the one who is sane, not crazy, pubescent, and heard the call of Islam. Al-mukallaf huwa al-baligh, sane, or baligh, pubescent. Al-aqil, sane, wa sami'a bida'wati al-Islam, and heard the call of Islam. That's called an accountable. That accountable person has obligations in Islam. If he was not Muslim, he is obligated to become a Muslim and stay steadfast to Islam. If he is a Muslim, he is obligated to acquire the personal obligatory knowledge of the religion. One is considered as having received the message of Islam if one received the basic message. For example, if a non-Muslim heard and understood the testification of faith that no one is God except Allah and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, one has received the basic message. Now, to become accountable, it is not a condition that the person receives the details of the creed of Islam. Hence, if the non-Muslim was pubescent, he has either reached the age of 15 lunar years, or his mani was discharged, or he was sane, he was not crazy, and he received the basic message that no one is God except Allah and that Muhammad is his messenger, it is obligatory for him to embrace Islam immediately. If he does not, and he dies in that state of blasphemy, then he deserves the everlasting torture in hellfire. The one who does not, however, receive the basic message of Islam will not be tortured in hellfire. This is so because Allah said in Surah Al-Isra, Ayah 15, وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا. This ayah means Allah will not punish in the hereafter those who do not receive the basic message of the creed of Islam of any prophet. Such people are not accountable. So the person who never heard about the basic call of Islam, that Muslims say that no one is God except Allah and that Muhammad is his messenger, if one never heard of that at all, then he is not accountable. We're talking about those who are non-Muslims. Then he is not accountable, therefore he will not be punished in the hereafter. He will be admitted to paradise. Likewise, the person who dies before pubescence, he will be safe in the hereafter. Even if he worshipped a stone, even if he worshipped an idol or the like, because he is not pubescent. God, Allah, will not judge him. He will not be judged or punished for his deeds because he is not pubescent. Likewise, the person whose insanity continued until after pubescence and dies, he will be safe in the hereafter. And the person who was born insane, he was born crazy, and that insanity continued until he died. Excuse me. And he died while he was also insane. So that person will be safe in the hereafter because he is not accountable. So the accountable person is the one who is sane, pubescent, and heard the call of Islam. To become Muslim is an easy matter. One believes in one's heart in the meanings of the testification of faith and utters it with one's tongue. He must say it, he must believe in it and utter it, either in Arabic or any other language which he understands, even if one knows the Arabic. In English, one says, I testify that no one is God except Allah, and I testify that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, or uses other words which give the aforementioned meaning. One does not become Muslim if one does not utter the testification of faith, even if one holds the proper belief in one's heart. Even if he had that belief, we're talking about the non-Muslim, even if he had the belief but he did not say it, he did not utter it with his tongue, then it is not accepted from him. In order for him to be considered as a Muslim, he is obligated to utter, to say the testifications of faith by and believe in them. So for a non-Muslim, we tell him to immediately say and believe that no one is God except Allah and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. That is the first thing that the non-Muslim who is accountable is obligated to do, to say, to utter and believe in the heart that no one deserves to be worshipped except Allah and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By saying that, the non-Muslim becomes a Muslim. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our deeds, to forgive our sins, and keep us steadfast on Islam, and Allah subhanahu knows best.